Morning. Today's daf and krisus is daf hey. We're on Dalamud Beis. The Gemara is continuing from yesterday's discussion regarding the isurim of dam and chaylev. One of the two of the chayv krisus that I mentioned in our Mishnah, and let's just pick it up right where we left off yesterday. We learned in the end of yesterday's daf that when it comes to an animal whose dam is usur bikare, so therefore the dam and the rest of the animal are two distinct isurim. And so therefore cannot combine with one another. However, when it comes to the dam of a sheretz, so the dam of the sheretz and the sheretz are one entity, one halachic entity, and so therefore they're going to be mitzarf, they will combine together. In terms of two halachas, do they combine together? One, in terms of the halach of tumah, we know that in order for a sheretz to be mitame, in order to give off tumah, so you need the remains of a sheretz, you need only the size of a lentil, of a sheretz in order to give off tumah. It's metame bicha adasha. That tumah is going to be a total combination of both the actual remains of the sheretz, both the flesh of the sheretz and the blood of the sheretz. Similarly, there's an isser to eat sheretz as well. The isser of eating sheretz, same thing. The blood and the meat are going to combine in order to be chayiv on ma'achalos asuras, on the prohibited consumption of the sheretz. As far as tumah is concerned, tumah only applies to shmona shratzim, only eight of the shratzim. When it comes to the achila, all shratzim are going to be prohibited, except for grasshoppers. Amar Ravina, the Gemara picks it up right here. So a snake. So the blood of the snake and the snake itself are going to be mitzarif. This is not vis-a-vis tumah. A snake is not mitame. Only shmona shratzim are mitame, snake not being one of them. So therefore, this is only talking about achila. So when you eat snake, it's a sentence. So when you eat snake, if you eat a kezayis of the flesh and the blood, it would be mitzdarif. So my kamashulan hainu akesha. So the Gemara says, yeah, isn't that exactly what we pointed out? Sakadach amina sheretz the yitzrabi l'tumah yitzrabi l'achila. Nachash lo yitzrabi l'tumah lo yitzrabi l'achila. Kamash malan akesha kol milei de'ein damo chaluk mi besorah mashma. I might have entertained the havamina that the hekesh only works in a scenario where dam and basar are going to combine for tumah, then they're going to be combining for machalos asuros. However, by nachash, and for that matter, almost all the other shratzim, meaning the only time that tumah is a factor is only by shmona shratzim, but by all the other shratzim, one would have entertained the idea that since there is no tumah, so therefore there is no mitzvah starfus regarding dam and basar. And what we're learning together is that no, there is a starfus for dam and basar. Amarav Shalosh Krisus Amors Bedam Lamai. Three times in the Torah does the Torah tell us the onesh of achilas dam, the onesh being kares, and why three times? Achas adam chulam v'achas adam kashim v'achal adam atamtsis. So one is for the blood of a carbon, the other is for the blood of a regular animal, and the third is for dam atamtsis. Dam atamtsis is blood that comes out of the animal after the dam hanefesh. When you shecht an animal, that first gush of blood that comes out is what's called dam hanefesh, and then afterwards the blood that kind of drips out afterwards, subsequently, that's dam atamtsis. So there's an isur kares for all three. Dam atamtsis is not dam that is mechaper. One might have entertained the idea that it is not going to be an isur kares for eating it. Teaching us the Gemara, there is an isur kares for eating it. Hanichle Rav Yehuda detanya dam atamtsis ba'azar Rav Yehuda amar bekares. So the Gemara says, okay, but the dam atamtsis being an isur kares, meaning it's asur. That part. Good. The drush is coming up. So dam atamtsis ba'azar Rav Yehuda amar bekares. So the Gemara says dam atamtsis is asur. That's a given. The question now is whether or not there's an onesh of kares. So the Gemara says this is a machlokus. And so let's say that we're going like Rav Yehuda, that says that dam atamtsis ba'azar Rav Yehuda amar bekares. Ela rabbanan ha'ila mayasa. But if I don't subscribe to Rav Yehuda and I subscribe to the Chachamim, so then what is the third kares coming to teach me? And the afil of the Rav Yehuda, and even according to the sheet of Rav Yehuda, who is marbe dam tamsis for kares, but he generates it not from the pasuk but rather from a drasha, and the drasha is the afil of Rav Yehuda kares nafkale min kol dam. Detanya Rav Yehuda amar dam matam alamar kol dam ain li ala dam kachim shanefesh yotze bo shuhu mechaper dam chulin v'dam tamsis min nine tam alamar kol dam. And even if you want to subscribe to the sheet of Rav Yehuda derives it from a drasha of the word kol, which is marba, that's an inclusion, and that includes the dam atamtsis as well. So, a little bit stuck, meaning we acknowledge that there are three pesukim in the Torah that connect kares to dam. What is the third pasuk? So the Gemara says it's the kares of dam tamsis. The Gemara now acknowledges, first of all, the Chachamim don't subscribe to that. So if it's anyone, it's Rav Yehuda. And on top of that, according to Rav Yehuda, it's a drasha. It's not based on the pasuk. So ala ema echel adam chulim echel adam kashim echel adam kisui. So the Gemara says you're right. So the three damim are one is for dam chulim, the second is for dam kashim, and the third one is for dam kisui. We know that after you shecht a chaya and an oaf, so there is a mitzvah in the Torah to be mechasa as adam, to cover the blood. So even though the blood is covered, so there's going to be a issur d'oraisa of eating that blood and an onish of karis as well. Question, why by damakisui? Why would I have thought that by damakisui it'd be any different? Meaning it's the first blood that came out, and so it's damanefesh, and so and I cover it, and I need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me now that it's going to be, it's still going to maintain its issur, and an issur of kares, and an onish of kares. Why would I have thought otherwise? Super interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, Rashi could find in the inside column. Rashi covers both outside and inside column. You see the Rashi in the inside column. Rashi Dibra Maskal Ella. It's about halfway down in the Rashis. La'olam Rabbanan de'lo nafka l'chulam miribui de'chol. Right, we are going like the Chachamim. The Alpha Gav Dalei Slu Karis B'damatamsis, who does not have Karis connected to Damatamsis, Mibailu Chad Karis L'dam Kisui, L'dam Chai V'Ov Shekisau V'Nizgaleh. So you cover the blood and then was revealed. And Rashi says, in the Chiddush being, Salkadat Kamina Batla Agav Ara. I might have entertained the idea that since it's covered, so now it becomes Batal. V'Iyadar Achla Afra Ba'amahu V'lo L'chayev. And if I subsequently eat it, I'm not eating blood, I'm eating dirt. That's the Havamina. In other words, that basically once the blood's been covered by dirt, it becomes part and parcel of the earth, and it has the status of earth. And so therefore, it's not an Achilas Isser, that's the Havamina. And now the Chiddush is that, no, it's still Dam. And not only is it still Dam, but with an Isser Karis.
Anything similar to the concept of Nas and Mitzvaso, like burning the
hummus? Similar.
Would you have the same Havamina if there was no mitzvah kisei adam and you just happened to cover it? Or is it that because of the mitzvah kisei adam that...
Right. It's a good, excellent question. I mean, Rashi employs the idea of bitul over here. It becomes batul to the earth, but it's interesting. Certainly interesting. Amar Rava, chamisha lavim ha'amorim bedam lama. Five lavim when it comes to dam. Achas adam chulim v'achas adam kashim v'achas adam kisu v'achal adam ivarim v'achas adam atamsis. Now, mind you, over here, we're talking not about the isuri, not about the onish of karis. We're just talking about the lav, the negative prohibition. The negative prohibition, so that is five times over. One is for dam chulin, a second is for dam kachim. A third is for dam kisuri, like we just described. A fourth is for dam evarim, blood in the limbs of the animal. Meaning the blood, most of the blood comes out at the moment of shechita. Right? You're opening up major vascular system. You have a good amount of blood coming up, out. There's still going to be some blood left in the limbs. That blood is also going to be alive. And finally, achas adam atamsis, the blood that drips out after the shechita, that also is going to be alive as well. Amar Rav Ila. Okay, new topic. Yesterday, the Gemara spent a lot of time discussing how if I eat the chalev of a shor and the chalev of kesev and the chalev of an aiz, so that may be three separate lavim. That was a machlokas amongst the Tanaim. Remember yesterday, Rabbi Yishmael said, you are going to be subject to three separate lavim. The Chachamim say, no, you're not. That's one lav. That's just simply chalev. And so on that line, on that thread, so the Gemara now moves to a new topic. Amar Rabbi Ila, Achal Meister Dagan. V'tirosh v'yitzar. If a person eats the meister sheni of the grain and the wine and the oil, lokesh shalosh, you're going to be subject to three sets of malkios. Aren't you supposed to be eating it? What are you doing getting malkos? So what you did wrong is that you ate it outside of Yerushalayim. The mitzvah of meister sheni is to eat it in Yerushalayim. And you ate it outside Yerushalayim. And so therefore, according to Rav Ila, if you eat these three Meister Sheni items outside of Yerushalayim, three sets of makos. V'ayin lo kan alav shebechlalos. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Isn't that under one general lav? Again, the word lav shebechlalos over here goes back to what we said yesterday, meaning generally lav shebechlalos means you don't get makos at all. What the Gemara is entertaining over here is that not three sets of makos. So shani hachadim yastri kra. So the Gemara says over here, I'll tell you why each one is individualized as its own lav, because of the yitur, of the extraneous words. The Torah says that you will eat there, right, this week's Parsha, you will eat there the Meiser of Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzar, and that's Bifnin in Bechutzlo, that the Torah is specifically telling us to eat it in Yerushalayim, not outside. So, why doesn't the Torah also have to give us the opposite as well? Meaning the negative. The Torah already tells us the positive, and by the positive, by virtue of the positive, we know the negative. It's a lava ba mechlal asay. And then the Torah on top of that also gives us a lava as well, that you're not allowed to eat it outside. So lechalek. So the Gemara says, what's coming to teach me is that not just introducing us to the lava, but three lavin. One for eating grain, the other for eating wine, and the other for eating oil, olive oil. So the Gemara says, I don't know if that's a chiddush. Maybe the chiddush is very simple. Maybe the chiddush is that the first pasuk introduces us to the mitzvah sesei of eating it in Yerushalayim, and the second one is to give us a lav. Right? So maybe the pasuk is just there to give us a lav. Look, as we said time and again throughout Shas, if it's just a lav about mechlal asay, so that is not a formal lav. Meaning, yes, we know that it's an iser asay. We're not allowed to do it because the Torah tells us what to do. But if the Torah doesn't roll out a formal lav, so then it's not a formal lav, and you're not going to get malchus. So the Torah is there to tell us that it's a formal lav. That's all. Va'adayin lav shebechlalusu. But I'd still argue, however, that that's not three separate lav, and it's one lav. So the Gemara still argues. Okay, you know how the Torah could have rolled out the formal lav? By just simply saying, don't eat them outside. Torah could have used a pronoun. We already know what it was talking about because the previous psukim identified which grains we're talking about and which fruits we're talking about. So then the Torah could have just simply, as the lav say, and don't eat them outside Yerushalayim. Why does the Torah now specify the grains, the oil, the wine? So liachdu achila lechol chavachad, to tell us that each one is going to represent its own separate lav. Next topic. The Gemara now is going to talk about the Isser of Chadash. Grains that grow over the course of the year. Growth of grain is a six-month process. Right, back in the good old days, one harvest of grain. Right, the winter grain. The winter grain eventually was harvested in the early spring. And now you bring the grain in and you don't eat it because the grain is not yet mutter. Grains that grew over the course of the season are not going to be permitted until we bring the Karban Omer. Karban Omer, which is born the second day of Pesach. So that is not only a mitzvah to bring the Karban Omer, but the Karban Omer serves as a matir. It allows for the consumption of all the new grains. The new grains are no longer new. They're no longer chadash. They're now considered yashan and you're allowed to eat them. The Torah, when introducing us to the Isser of eating Chadash, so it mentions grains in three different forms. Let me just introduce the three forms, and we'll see all this inside in the Gemara. One is Lechem, when the grain is converted into bread. That's obviously a significant processing of the grain. Number two is Kali, where the grains are toasted. And the third is Karmel, when the grains are just taken right out of the ground. They're plump, they're juicy, they're rolled so that the peel is taken off, but that's it. So there's Lechem, Kali, and Karmel. So those are three different types of grains that one is not allowed to eat prior to the Omer. And the Gemara now is going to teach us a similar thing that we learned previously, which is three separate Isurim. Am Rav Yitzchak ga'ocha lechem kali v'karmel loke gimel. If a person were to eat lechem kali v'karmel, and we're talking about before the Omer is brought, and so therefore it's an Isur min haTorah of Chadash, so one is going to be subject to three sets of Malkios. And again, the Gemara says, why are there three Malkios? It's one lav. It's the Isser of Chadash. How can it be three? So Shani Hachadim Yasikra. So the Gemara says, because of the Ribui, and now the Gemara is going to go through the same process of what is extra? What in the Pasuk serves as an extraneous word, which now is going to tell us that they are three separate lavin. So Lemakra Lechem Enelev Kaliv Karmel Minei. So the Gemara says, well, the Torah could have just said Lechem by itself. The Gemara counters, Zikal and Bifrach, Malalechem Shekinis Rabba Eitzel Chala. What do you mean? If the Torah would have just said lechem, I would have said like this. Lechem is unique. Lechem has the mitzvah of challah, the chiyuv of challah, the frashas challah. So if the Torah would have just said lechem by itself, I wouldn't have extended it to kali v'karmel. There's no mitzvah of chiyuv of challah on kali v'karmel. So nichtav kali v'lo lichtav lechem, v'nelav mikali. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Torah could have just talked about the roasted grains, the toasted grains. So the Gemara says, no, lechem akali lo asim mishum dekali isa beinei. Lechem lo isa beinei. So the Gemara says, okay, but I wouldn't have then made the jump from kali to lechem. Kali is the grain in its natural state. Yes, we toasted it, but nevertheless, it's still the en. It's still in its natural state. Lechem, it went through serious processing. We ground it. We baked it with it. We kneaded it. We baked it. So with all that processing, one would have said, if the Torah only would have said Kali, I wouldn't have said that there's a chiyuv regarding karma. Sorry. If they're right, if there's a chiyuv by Kali, that wouldn't necessarily mean it would be by Lechem. Karmel mi Kali lo asi. And the Gemara continues making these arguments. I wouldn't have learned out Kali from Karmel, other way around. Karmel mi Kali lo asi. I wouldn't have learned out Karmel. That's the plump grain from the toasted grain. Mishum de Kali nis rabbe etzel menachos. Karmel nis rabbe etzel menachos. Kali is incorporated into the mincha. The mincha of the Omer is brought from toasted grains. It is not brought from Carmel. And so therefore, if the Torah only would have told us Kali, I would have said that it's limited to Kali because of its inclusion in a mincha. Carmel is not included in a mincha. Nichtav Carmel v'nilav lechem v'kali minei. If the Torah would have said Carmel, the fresh grain, so then wouldn't we learn the others from the fresh grain? Ekel mifrach, ma'ala Carmel, shekein lo nishtan em ribiyaso. So the Carmel didn't go through any change whatsoever. In other words, it's literally in its raw state. However, when it comes to a toasted grain, it's been toasted. When it comes to bread, it's gone through excessive, much more processing. So I couldn't have learned that from Carmel. So one of them by itself could not have stood alone in order to teach the other two. Gemara, however, continues the discussion. How about if I do two of the three? Yeah, you know where it's going. So the Gemara says, how about if I do two of the three? So mincha lo yafi neilef chada min train lo nichtov kar lechem neilef mikali v'karmel. So why don't I learn it from the toasted grain and the raw grain? So ikla mifrach malakali v'karmel di isnum be'inanhu. Yeah, but still, in both of those cases, they are both still in their original state. Granted, the toasted grain has been toasted, but still, it's in its original state. Bread again has undergone extensive processing. So lo nichtov kara karmel v'nelov milechem v'kali. The Gemara continues. Well, how about learning it from lechem and kali? So we have a processed item and a item in its original state. Igla mifrach mal lechem v'kali shekinis rabe etzel menachos. Okay, but still lechem and kali are connected to mincha. Lechem, right? The lechem, the mincha itself sometimes is called lechem, i.e. the lechem upon it. And kali, as we already established, is the kind of grain that's used in menachos, specifically by the Karban Omer. However, the karmel, the raw grain is not, obviously it will be used for the mincha, but in the raw state, it can't be used for the mincha. So again, if I just had lechem v'kali, that's mincha connected, mashenke manak karmel. So am lecha, Rabbi Yitzchak, lo nichto kra, kali v'nelof, melechem v'karmel. So the Gemara finally, you know, usually these discussions end with no possibility. Here, actually, there is a possibility, which is lechem v'karmel. Take the bread and take the raw grain. And my parachta. Here, actually, it's going to be successful. I parachta mal lechem shekinis rabbe etzel chala karmel yochiach. Bread, there's a challah requirement. Yeah, but there isn't by karmel. And the imishum de karmel lo nishan rabbi yaso lechem yochiach. Karmel is in its original state. Okay, bread's been processed. So you basically have now every avenue covered. Hilkach loke de miyaser. So the Gemara says, yitur. So we have now the extra word, because now we've established that it could have just been deduced from lechem and karmel. The kali now is extra. That tells us that it's a separate lav. Okay, the Gemara pushes back just one more time. Ve'ema kali de miyaser mechayiv chada. Maybe if I eat the kali, so then you're going to be chayv one lav. Again, we're talking about the Isser of Chadash. So the Isser in question over here is the Isser of Chadash. So if I eat the Chadash Kali, so then that's one lav. And akula mechayv chada. But maybe if I eat the other two, so maybe that represents one more lav. But in other words, not an individualized lav for each one of them. So the Gemara says no. Imke nechto kra lechem karmel vikali. Look at the order in which the Torah presents it. The Torah, well, here's what the Torah does not say. The Torah does not say lechem, karmel, v'kali. Inami nechtov kali, v'lechem, v'karmel. Meaning, where is kali? So it's not on the back end, it's not on the front end. Where does the Torah position the kali? Amai kasav l'kali be'emtza. Kali's position right in the middle. Hachi kamar lechem v'kali, nechay v'karmel, nechay v'kali. So that means to say that it's there to break up the other two. Meaning, lechem and karmel are there to give us the, if you will, the binyan av mishnik suvim. That sets the precedent that we could have learned everything from those two. If the Torah paired them together, so then maybe you could make the argument that that's one law for the two of them. By taking Kali, right, the extra, the Yitur, and putting it right in the middle, that comes to break up the Lechem and Karmel to tell me that there's a separate law for each one of the three. I'm Rav Yanai. Gemara makes numerous points regarding the significance of Gzeres Shavah. I'm Rav Yanai Lola Malti Gzeres Shavah Kala Beinecha. Do not treat Gzeres Shavah lightly. Gzeres Shavah, obviously, one of the Yud Gimel Midrash Atar Nidreshes Bahem. It is one of the processes in which we learn halacha. A word here, a word there, it's the same word, or as the Gemara says many times, a similar word. Sometimes the Gemara says it doesn't even have to be a similar word, as long as it's the same meaning. But still, and we have a Mesara, right? Key component to Gzeres Shavah, right? In Adam Dan Gzeres Shavah Me'atzma Ella In Kein Kibal Mirabo. You cannot concoct a Gzeres Shavah. If you can you imagine the number of Gzeres Shavahs that come out of the Torah? I can't give a numeric answer to that, but it's a large number. So you have to have two words that are the same. You have to have a Mesora that these two words are connected, and you have a Gzeres Shavah. Gzeres Shavah is teaching us a halacha min haTorah. And the Gemara now says, just to make sure to emphasize how significant Gzeres Shavah is, the Gemara is now going to give us four examples of the severity of Gzeres Shavah and what Gzeres Shavah does in terms of halacha. So, al tehi Gzeres Shavah kala beinecha, sharei pigel echa megufe Torah. As far as pigel is concerned, it is one of the basic halachas of the Torah. V'lo limdo akasav elam Gzeres Shavah. Now, pigel is learned through Gzeres Shavah. Now, Rashi over here points out that when we talk about pigel, there are two types of pigel. I know if you remember back to our Zvachim days, I came up with my own terminology, pigel major, pigel minor. Pigel major, it's chutz lezmano. Pigel minor, it's chutzim komo. So the chutz lezmano, that is an Isser Karis, the Torah says, so beferish, see Rashi over here that says it. The chutzim komo, so that's not said explicitly in the Torah, that's going to be an Isser Karis. How do we know it's an Isser Karis? We're learning it via Gzeres Shavah. So the Gemara says, Elam Gzeres Shavah, Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Teniz Zavda Bar Levi, Namar La'alam Va'ochlava Vana Yisa, Venamar Kam Va'nefesh Ochlas Mimenu Avona Tisa, So Ma La'alam Karis Av Kan Karis. So the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim tells us not to eat, no, sorry, the Pasuk also tells us not to eat pigel, and no, so we know it's an Isser Karis, and so pigel also is going to be an Isser Karis as well. I'm a Reb Simai. Here comes our second example. Lo olam alti gzeres shavah kala beinecha sharei nosar echa migufei Torah and lo limdo akasav elam gzeres shavah. Now nosar also a basic halacha. The fact that one is going to be subject to kares that's learned by gzeres shavah. So mayhi yalev kodesh kodesh va'achlav avonav yisa ki is kodesh Hashem chilal. So v'saraf and v'ksiv v'sarafta sanosar ba'ish ki kodesh. So you see the word kodesh now is going to be serving as our hyperlink connecting the two psukim. And we have a Mesora. And once we know that there is Karis by Pigel, now over here, again, not to be too confused, we're now talking about the major Pigel of Chutz Lezmano. Once we know that there is an Isser Karis by Pigel, so now we extend that Isser Karis and we apply it to Nosar as well. A third example. Amar Rabbi Lola Maltik Zereshav Kalabe Nechashare Bito Me'anusaso. So if one has relations with his daughter that he had out of wedlock, Hein Hein Gufi Torah, that is a Isser Torah. Volalimda hakasav elam gzeres shavah, and it's only deduced from gzeres shavah. Amar Rava, Amarli Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Asya Heinahenali Sura, Asya Zima Zima Lasreifa. So we have psukim connecting the bito me'anusaso to teach us one that it's an iser, and two it would be subject to a sreifa punishment. So now we have gzeres shavah. Actually, it's a double gzeres shavah. We have a gzeres shavah teaching us that there's both an iser of bito me'anusaso and a capital punishment of Sreifa for doing so. In terms of the Psukim, please see Rashi, who goes through the Psukim inside. Am Ravashi, here comes a fourth example. Altihi Gzeres Shavah Kala Beinecha Sharei Niskalin Heinin Gufi Torah. We're going to have Gzeres Shavah teaching us about a capital punishment of Skila. By the way, you see how the progression of these examples work. We go Kares to Sreifa, and now we're at Skila. So, Asya Heine Heine Li Sir, I'm sorry, sorry. I went back a line. Shari niskalin hein gufi Torah v'lo limda akasav elam gzeres shavah. Ditanya nemar kan demehem bam v'nemar ba'ovi yadoni demehem bam. Regarding many of the arayos, not all of them, but some of the arayos are subject to skila. And ovi yadoni, the Torah says, but it doesn't say skila, it says demehem bam. And by Ovi Adoni, the Torah says Demei Embam, and the Torah is explicit by Ovi Adoni that it's Skila. Malahala Beskila, Afkan Beskila. So now, through the Gzeres Shavah, we're learning that Demei Embam is coming to introduce us to the capital punishment of Skila.
So you said
that. Okay. Yeah. I like the Midos. Yeah.
So is that the Gemara progression of the Gemara is set up like from Shimon?
Yeah. Other way around.
Shimon is the one that says Sreifa is more common. Right. Than the other way, so right,
correct.
In Unshrim Bedin, the other Yudhiyah Mamedot, we do cattle punishment for?
We don't do any punishment for
it.
That's Kal V'Chomer.
So aside from Kal V'Chomer,
we're
doing capital punishment based on Gzeirah Shava.
Right, so we're doing capital punishment based on Gzeirah Shava. So.
No problems with that.
Right, not only no problems with that, the Gemara says that's the strength of Gzeirah Shava. Right, that's exactly the point. Hamefatim is a shemen. Okay, the shemen amishcha. Shemen HaMishcha, the oil that is used for anointing. Now, Moshe put a compound together, the Shemen HaMishcha. We're going to be learning the recipe today. Okay, I didn't think you thought that we'd do recipe sharing this morning in the daf, but we are going to recipe share. The Shemen HaMishcha that was put together by Moshe Rabbeinu, so that was the oil that was used for anointing the Mishcha. Now, the Gemara is going to go through all the things that it was used for anointing. So, if we were to make this compound ourselves, so we'd be in violation of a law in the Torah, and couple that with also an onus of kares. It's one of the 36 mentioned in our Mishnah. Hamefatin and Mesa Shemen. Similarly also, we'll be discussing it more extensively tomorrow, and that is Mefatin Mesa Ketores. Putting the incense together in the same formula, in the same recipe, as is done in the Beis HaMikdash, that also is going to be an Isser Kares as well. So, Hamefatin Mesa Shemen Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes the Brisa Mefatin Mesa Shemen Lamed. Bo. Oh, Lemostro Lesibra Pater. Now, if you're doing the Pitam HaShemen in order to teach others how it's done, or to hand it over to the Sibor, so Pater. So you will be exempt. Normally the word Pater means Pater Aval Asar. In this context over here, it just simply is contrasting it to the word Chayav. Pater over here means it's totally fine. Alasuch Chayav. If you are doing it in order so that you are going to be anointing the oil on yourself. So in other words, we're talking now about your Kavanah that you have while putting the compound together. If your kavana while putting the compound together is that you are going to use it, so now the putting of the compound together is going to be a lav with the karis penalty. Vasach mimenu pater. Now, ironically, if I then take said shemen amishcha that I put together, and even with the wrong kavana, and I then use it and rub it on myself, so that is not going to be the lav that's going to result in the isser karis. Why? That's ironic, but why? Lefisha in chayavin ella al. Because the only Shemen HaMishcha that one that is effective, and therefore one will have a liability of rubbing it on you unnecessarily, is going to be the only one that Moshe Rabbeinu prepared. Meaning the Shemen HaMishcha that was prepared by Moshe, that's the one that is enduring. That is the one that remains. Obviously, the Gemara is going to make this point later on. It was a nace. There's no way that the small amount of Shemen HaMishcha that was prepared by Moshe, and later this morning we will quantify how much that is, could last all those years. But nevertheless, it did. That was an ace. So only that Shemen HaMishcha, if one rubs upon himself, is he going to be subject to the lav and the Isser Karis that's mentioned in our Mishnah. So for putting the compound together, even though its usage cannot be used for the Shemen HaMishcha, that's a lav. But again, the Kavanah has to be that you're using it for yourself. If you're using it to teach others, that is not going to be a lav. In fact, that would be fine. I'll ask the question. I don't really have a good answer. If Moshe's Shemen is enduring and we don't need other Shemen HaMishcha, so why would you be teaching others how to make the Shemen HaMishcha? Okay. I don't have an answer. Sorry. But anyway, in terms of the application of the Shemen HaMishcha, that is only with the Shemen HaMishcha that was prepared by Moshe. Gemara has a lot of follow-up questions after quoting the Braisa. Amar Mar. Lilmo bo o amanas lamosu sliber pata minalan. Where's the source of this halacha? Asya matkunaso min bimaskunasa diktaris. So again, two times in the Torah talks about putting compounds together, one for the Shemen HaMishcha, the others for the Ketores. Uksiv lagab Ketores losasu lachem. The Torah by the Ketores says that you cannot make it for yourselves, meaning for personal usage. Lachem udaser v'lamosu l'tzibur pater. If you're not making for personal usage, then it's not an iser. Gabi sheminami l'mosu l'tzibur pater. So that means that now we have the, I guess we'll call it the gzeirah shava, right? And on the heels of the previous Gemara. So now that means that that's true regarding Ketores. It's also going to be true regarding the Shemen HaMishcha, that the Isser is only when you are making it for personal usage. V'tehad de Ketores v'neil of Mishemen. The Gemara says, okay, once we have this portal Gzeirah Shava opened up, let's learn out a new halacha. Now, Ma Shemen ki mefatim l'chatzim pater, af Ketores nami ki mefatim l'chatzim pater. So if I make not a full amount of the Shemen HaMishcha, I'll be pater. And let's say the same thing regarding the Ketores. If I don't make a full amount, so then you're going to be pater as well. Now, before we say that that's correct, it's not correct. Alama amar Rava Ketor shepitma lechatzayan chayav. Shemesh shepitma lechatzayan pater. If I make a small amount of the shemen amishcha, so you're going to be pater. Small amount meaning less than the amount prescribed by the Torah. Even if I'm working with correct ratios, right? I'm good at math. So I know, not me personally, I'm okay. But in other words, but if you're good at math and you know that you're, what you're making now is paraded, going to be the amount that is used for the full amount of the Shemen HaMishcha, so you're not going to be chayiv. Masha'in came by the Ketores, that's not true. By the Ketores, the Torah gives us an amount in order to prepare. If I make half of that amount, you're going to be chayiv. Gemara's question is, if there's a Gzeir Shava linking the two halachas, so then I don't understand. What should be true by one is true by the other. So Am Lacharav Gabi Shemen Ksiv Gabi Shemen Ksiv Uve Maskun Aso Lausasu Kamohu. So when it comes to the Shemna Mishcha, the Torah uses the word Kamohu, Kamohu Dasar Avachesiv Shapidami. So Kamohu means to tell me that the only Isser is when I make the full amount. Gabi Ketoris Dichsiv Aktoris Asher Ta'aseh. Kol Asiya Diktoris Efsher Demakta Prashachris Prasmein Arbaim. So when it comes to the Ketores, the Gemara almost gives us like two separate arguments why it is that if I half it, I'm still going to be chayiv. One is because the pasuk says v'aktores asher tase, and that tase tells us that any asiyah is going to be prohibited. Additionally, you know the Ketores itself is broken up, meaning after the Ketores is prepared, then it is halved. Half is going to be burned in the morning, and half is going to be burned in the afternoon, daily in the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that the Ketores works in halves. And on top of that, the pasuk also says taseh. So for those reasons, the ketores is going to be chayiv even if I half it. Tanur Rabbanan, more on the Shemen HaMishcha. Shemen HaMishcha. So Mar Dvor, the Shemen HaMishcha is made up of a compound of four different fragrances, four different natural items. So number one is Mar Dvor. So how much of the Mar Dvor? Hey, Mayo is 500. 500 what? So it is a weight, and Rashi says we're weighing it in shkalim. So this is how to prepare. So obviously right now, I don't really think I'm in violation of Lifnei Iver, as we are now going to go through the formula of how to prepare the Shemen HaMishcha. I don't think people are going to be running home to do it. And it's an Issur Karis to do so. But the Gemara here gives us the amounts. So the Mar Dvor is 500. And Kida, Hey Meos, that's also going to be 500. And Kina Mombosim, Hey Meos, another 500 shkalim of the kina mambosa and kina ba, and the kina mom, sorry, kina, I'm sorry, yeah, kina mon bosem hemeos, and kina bosem, that's your fourth ingredient, chamisha umasayim. So that's going to be 250. Now you take all those numbers together, nimsim kulam, elef visheva meos vichamishim. So that comes out to 1750. 500 marjor, 500 kida, 500 kina mon bosa, and 250 of kina bosem. Now, Tanya Minyana Kamash Malan. Now, this is addition. Okay, we can do addition. So the Gemara says, why would the Braisa then at the end tell us how much it comes up in total? So, Machatzisa Chamishim Amasayim Dehavalu Train Alafin. So, I'm sorry, I skipped a little bit. So, Tana Minyana Kamash Malan, Tana Haka Kashile. This is what bothered the Braisa. Ema, let us suggest. Kana Bosem Kikin Amon, Bosem. That maybe the last two ingredients should be equivalent. Makin Amon Bosem Machatziso. So 250 represents half of it. So if 250 is half of it, that means that the full amount is 500. That's for the kina mambosem. I might have thought that for the fourth, for the kana boshem, so machatisa chamishim amasayim, da havalu train alafim. So maybe when the Torah gives us the number 250, that represents only half of what I need. Maybe I need two times that amount. So v'ema hachinami, the Gemara says, okay, why don't we say that? Imkin nechzor kara kina mambosem v'kana bosem. If the Torah meant that, the Torah would have put them together. Mechza u'mechza chamishim u'masayim. But the Torah does not put them together. The Torah writes them separately. So that means the kina mambosem is 500, the kana bosem is 250. Amle repa b'labai kishu shoka b'echre u'shokel. Now we're weighing the amount of the these items. So when you weigh, so in general, in business, so when you weigh, you have to weigh behechra. Back in the good old days, so you weighed with a scale. It's a counterbalance. You put an item on one side, you put a weight, right, a known weight on the other side. And now when the seller sells, he wants to make sure that he is not shorting the buyer at all. So that means that the product that he puts on the counterbalance against the weight has to go down just a little bit. That's what's called an halacha the hechra. The Gemara wants to know when we are weighing over here for the Shemen HaMishcha, and we're weighing these natural products. So are we going to be using the business methodology of Hechra or no? In other words, once the scale is even, so that's good enough. Oh, ayin ba'ayin hu shokel. That's the ayin ba'ayin version. That's the scale being balanced and equal and even. So amalei rechmana kasav bad bivad v'atamart behechra. So the Gemara is funny. The Gemara is going to argue in both directions. So the first side of the argument of the Gemara is, well, the Torah says bad bivad. So that means it's item for item. So and you want to tell me it's behechra? Meaning it sounds pretty clear from the Torah that we want an exact measurement. So the Gemara says, yeah, but on the other hand, Rav Yehuda was commenting and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about the Hechra. Now, what does that mean? Ama de'isbahu Hechra. Sounds like it's part and parcel of the measuring, even for the Shem Namishka. El am Rav Yehuda de'kinamam bosan amai maisei machatiso de'chamesh meos chamishim umasayim bechad zimna ve'chamesh umasayim bechad zimna. So the Gemara says, well, look, the Kinamam Bosan, as we already pointed out, it's 500, but it's 2 times 250. Why does the Torah do that? Why does the Torah have us doing it at 2 times 250? So Kevin Dekulin, hey, Meos, have you nice, hey, Meos, bevas achas. So why not just bring the whole 500 at the same time? Because with each measuring, we're going to add a little bit extra, the Hechra. The Torah wants us to have, by the third item, that by the Kinamam Bosan, the Torah wants us to have two times the two Hechras. So Shmamina Midikamaisikala Kinaman Bosom betray Zimne, Hechra Isbe, Vehakar's Barhu Yodea Behechraus. Okay, so the Gemara now argues the other direction. Yes, it's with a Hechra. We want the balance to go down a little bit, to dip a little bit. Umay Babivad. So now the original argument is Babivad. So I'm Ravina Shalayanich Mishka Bemishka Vishko. So when measuring over here, don't measure one item against another item, meaning it has to be measured against a weight, an actual weight. Tana Rabbanan, Shemen HaMishcha, Sha'asa Moshe B'Midbar, Mishalko HaIkarim Divrev Yehuda. Now, Shemen HaMishcha. So we know now the amount of these natural products. By the way, you noticed, I'm sure, that I didn't give you translations of what these natural products are. Okay? And because, I don't know. The Mar Dvor, by the way, I saw it. It's a discussion. It may be some form of musk that comes off of a deer. But, okay, I'm just more comfortable saying I don't know. Right now. So I don't know what these four items are, but it's a lot of it, meaning 1,750 shkalim's worth of these items are going to be used for the oil. And what the oil is going to do is the oil is going to absorb the flavoring. So basically now we have fragranced oil. Okay. How much oil? So we're going to see in just a moment. 12 lugan. 12 lugan is not a lot. Log is the equivalent to 6 eggs. So you're going to take that amount, comes out to... right, approximately a cup, right? When we talk about a revius, that's a revius halog. That's the amount that you need for kiddush and for other areas in halacha. So that's 4 ounces approximately. So a log is about a cup. And so 12 lugan, it's obviously not a lot. So you have that much oil for the Shemen HaMishcha mixed in with all these fragrances. And I say, oh, it's four of them, but in terms of volume, 1,750 shkalim worth of volume. I can't give you a number in terms of what that represents, but it's a big number. So how is the oil not going to, in other words, I put the oil now in all of these natural product. Isn't the oil just going to get absorbed by all of that? And that's the Gemara's discussion right now. Tana Rabbanan, so let's start again. Shem Namishcha Sha'asa Moshe B'Midbar Mishalko HaIkarim Divrei Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cook the Ikarim. We're going to cook these roots, these four items. And so by cooking it, what are we going to do? So the way Rashi explains it, we're now saturating it with water so that eventually when we add the Shemen HaMishcha in order to collect the fragrance, the Shemen HaMishcha is not going to go into these products because these products have already been saturated with the water. Okay.
Losing a lot of the flavor of it by cooking it?
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. What I presented is the way Rashi understands it. The Rambam says a little bit differently. The Rambam works out a little bit better with your suggestion. Okay. So Amalei Rabbi Yosef Alo Lasuch HaIkarim. I'm sorry. Everything I said, but just I went ahead of myself. Rav Yehuda says that I cook the oil directly in these products. Sorry. Rav Yehuda is banking on a miracle. So Rav Yehuda says you cook these directly in the Ikarim. Fine. And Amalei Rav Yosef Alo Lasuch HaIkarim Enosi Pei Ketzer Oseh Hevi HaIkarim Vishalkom Bemayim. So it is Rav Yehuda who advances this this process of first cooking the ikarim, the roots, and then adding the oil. Amar lo Rav Yehuda, to which Rav Yehuda's response is as follows. V'chi neisach ha-nasa b'shem ha-mishcha v'alo nisim harbe nasu bo. Mitchilaso v'ad sofo. My method relies on a miracle, doesn't bother me. Generally speaking, I know we say throughout Shas, ain't sumchin alanes. You don't rely on miracles. Nevertheless, over here, built into the Shem and HaMishcha are miracles. So the Gemara goes over, records the number of miracles that occur. Techilaso lo haya ala yud beis log. It's only 12 log. Uvonim shacha mishkan v'keila v'arun uvanav. And originally when Moshe prepared it, it was used for the anointing of the Mishkan, all the vessels. Aaron, all of his sons. And repeated all seven inaugural days. Kohen Gadol, kings. And it's going to remain around indefinitely. So there is no ending of the Shemana Mishcha. It just simply, it does not exhaust. And the Zeh is the represents in Gematria the number 12. It's 12 Lugan. It was 12 Lugan. It will always be 12 Lugan. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara goes over another Braisa. Vayikach Moshe Shem Namishcha Vimshachas Amishcha and Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shem Namishcha Shas Moshe Bemin Bar Harbe Nisim Nasu Bo Mitchila Vyat Sofo. Once again, counting the number of miracles. Tchilas Alo Hayala Yud Beis Lugan Kama Yoda Bolas Kama, sorry, Kama Yore Bolas. Now, when you're cooking in a pot, isn't the pot going to absorb? Kama ikarin bolan, isn't the roots going to absorb it? Kama orsoreif, isn't the fire going to burn some of it off? Uvo nimshach, mishkan, ukelev, aron, uvanav, kozayin, yemei, muluin. And again, inauguration of the mishkan, the kelim, Aaron, his sons, all 7 days of the inauguration. Uvo nimshachu, kohanim gadolim, amalachim, vafilu kohen gadol, ben kohen gadol, tal mishicha. Kohen gadol, son of the kohen gadol, it's not an assumed position. Not handed over from Kohen Gadol to his son. If his son is going to end up being the Kohen Gadol, he needs Meshicha. Ve'im Meshicha Melech ben Melech. However, if you are the son of the king, so that is an automatic assumption and inheritance of the Melucha, and therefore you do not need the Shemana Mishcha. Now, historically, there were a number of kings who received Meshicha. The Bryce is going to go over all of them. Ve'im Tomer Mimnei Ma Mishcha Eshlama Mimnei Machlokas Adoniyahu. So Shlomo was anointed with the oil. That's true, even though he was the son of David, and it should have gone straight to him. But that's because of the machlokas. Adoniah wanted the throne, and so therefore Shlomo was anointed. Ves Yoash mimnei Atalia. Yoash also was anointed, but that's because his mother wanted to take the throne. Ves Yoachas mimnei Yoyakim Achiv Shaya Gadol Me'achav Shnei Shanim. And when Yoachas assumed the melucha, even though he was the son of Yoshiyahu, nevertheless, and Yoshiyahu obviously being the king, nevertheless, because he was not the oldest brother is Yehoyakim, so therefore, he was anointed with the oil. So, if you are not the right king, if you're the natural inheritor, Shemana Mishcha. No Shemana Mishcha. But if not, so then Shemana Mishcha. All this is going to be discussed extensively in the upcoming Gemaras. Amar Mar Vafilu Kohen Ben Kohen Gadol, Tam Mashiach Aminal Dechsev Akon Mashiach Tachtav Mi Banav. The pasuk says that the Kohen who is going to be anointed, even though it's a son, Neim Akrav Hakohen Shetachtav Mi Banav. My Ham Mashiach Hakamashlan Dafilu Mi Banav Hu Demashiach Have Kohen Gadol. The Ilo Mashiach Lo Have Kohen Gadol. The son of a Kohen Gadol needs to be anointed. It is not an inherited position. Amar Mar Moshkim Melch Men Melch Minalan. Yerusha hi. When it comes to the malucha is viewed as a Yerusha. So the Gemara says, how do we know that this process is so that when there's a machlokis, we take out the Shem and the Mishcha? Amar Pap, Amar Kra, Bikerev Yisrael, Bizman Shalom Bi Yisrael. When there is a natural succession is only when there is shalom. And that's when I don't need the Shemana Mishcha. But if it's not shalom, if there is contention and division and fighting over the melucha, then you do take out the Shemana Mishcha. Tana, af yeo ben nimshi lo nimshach ela mimnei amachlokas Yoram ben Achav. When it comes to the anointing of Yeo ben Nimshi, who is one of the Malchei Yisrael, Obviously, this is post-division of the north and the south. So he required the Shemin HaMishka. So the Gemara says, Amai typically the Melech Rishon who? So the Gemara says, Chasur Mechzor V'Hachi Ketani. A little more clarification over here, says the Gemara. Malchei Beis David Moshkin, Malchei Yisrael E Moshkin. As far as who's going to be receiving the Mashiach, it's only going to be Malchei Beis David, not Malchei Yisrael. V'im Tom Mimnei Mashu Yehu Ben Nimshi, Mimnei Machlokes Yorim Ben Achav. Yehu Ben Nimshi, who was one of the Malchei Yisrael, so his anointment only comes about because there was Machlokes, which the Gemara is going to ask in just a moment. Wait 1 second. He's not Malchei Yehuda, he's Malchei Yisrael. Amar Ma Malchei Beis David Moshkin, Mei Malchei Yisrael Moshkin, Minalim Dechziv. Kom Mashkeu Kizehu. When all of the sons of Yishai were introduced to Shmuel, Shmuel kept looking at each one of them saying, hey, he looks good. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, not that one, not that one. Finally, when they got to David HaMelech, so Shmuel said this one, and that's the pasuk we're reading. Kom mashcheu ki zehu, ze ta'un mashicha ve'in acher ta'un mashicha. Okay. Well, let's pause over here. We're in the middle of a discussion. Obviously, the Gemara tomorrow is going to be asking the question: if Yoram is not part of Malchei Yehuda, how can the Yehu is not part of Malchei Yehuda, so how can we receive the Shemin HaMishka tomorrow? The Gemara is going to ask that question, and the Gemara will answer that question. Okay. Adkan. Oh,